You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
Today's show is dedicated to my family, friends, and colleagues, for without their support and encouragement, I wouldn't have pulled through this far. Well, it's 11 a.m. on June 17, 2011, and you are listening to A Touch of Grace with five-time self-published author, host, and producer of the show, where literary expression shines. I'm broadcasting live from Palo Alto, California, and on today's show, I have an incredible author from PHE Inc. Publishing out of Houston by the name of Jean Holloway. Her creative projects all have similar themes. It's the deck of card themes, and so without further ado, I'd like to welcome her to the show. And hey there, Jean, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, GD. How about you?
You know what? I don't know. My adrenaline is pumping pretty good, so I don't know if it's that cold medication I took or if it's just that I'm excited about it happening again.
Yes.
And the third time's a charm, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's probably a combination of the two.
Well, probably so. So I guess, first of all, I want to thank you for your patience. And it was the destiny that this happened. And I'm so proud that you're the first guest on the show since its hiatus. So I guess, you know, the best question to start with for the listeners out there, and by the way, listeners, thank you for tuning in. I'm humbled and very appreciative. And so without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into this. So, Jean,
yeah.
when and where did this whole writing experience begin for you?
Well, honestly, when? It started in 1980 in answer to a bet that my sister presented to me. And you know how sisters are. You bet me I'm going to try. And it was because I was such an avid reader. She says, you know, you read so much, I bet you could write a book. And I said, I bet I could. So, you know, this was before computers, so I used to go to the park and write in longhand. Ace of Hearts, the first draft was in longhand, pencil and paper. And then my sister, look, my staunchest supporter, she typed it up for me, and it went from the typewriter to the word processor and then finally to the computer. So, look, I'm with the times now. It took me a minute, but...
Hey, honey, we all have our start somewhere because I remember all that longhand. As a matter of fact, I found a manuscript when I was moving around that
mm-hmm.
started. So, we, you know, as a writer, we make it happen any way we can.
Right.
Yeah, so now this whole card theme concept, for the listeners, because I know the story, but I, for their sake, and by the way, welcome you guys out there on that chat line. I see you guys, and hello. Where did this whole card theme concept start? What was the inspiration behind it?
I think it was an homage to my dad. I'm a daddy's girl, and he was a premier pinochle player. And I play a good hand a bit with myself, but I think I did that in homage to him because he was a very special man in my life.
Okay, so he liked to play cards, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's paid the mortgage with his pinochle winnings sometimes, so you know.
Oh, my God. So he definitely was a gambler.
Yeah, he was a card shark. What could I say?
did he get a chance to read any of your books?
Thankfully, he did get the chance to read the Ace of Hearts manuscript before he passed, but he never did get to see me published. But I know he's watching. It's okay. Him and my mom see it.
Well, you know what? They are with us in spirit today because the one thing that I was telling you prior to the show starting is that, you know, based on, you know, what I've seen and what I observe, you know, I'm always drawn to people that are pretty proactive and progressive. And
mm-hmm.
I know that the PHE family, you know, there's a lot of great authors out of that stable. And so I'm just, I just know without a doubt that the spirit of them flows through you when you are writing. And so this is another question that I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
How many books are there in your series so far right about now?
Three are complete, And the fourth one, Full House, will be out November 11th of this year. So there's Ace of Hearts, which is my debut novel. Like I said, I finished that in 1982. It didn't get published till 2007. And then once it did, the roller coaster ride started. And I had set myself up for a sequel, not knowing that I would be writing it 30 years later. But I'm enjoying this. I can't see doing anything else in life. I'm so glad I took that bet. I don't know what to do. So, and then the second book was Blackjack. I think the subtitle under that would be Smooth Criminal, because he was very smooth. There's nothing, say, more powerful than an intelligent, sexy man. And then Deuces Wild took me a little out of my comfort zone. My villainess doll was really creepy. She made my skin crawl, but I got her out there. Sometimes it wasn't easy.
Okay, so now that was the second book.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the third?
The third was Deuces Wild.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about a homicidal couple. Okay, and she's really off the wall. Like I said, she worried me a bit, but made me worry about myself. But
so I have a question. So the whole series, it's actually like a continuation from book one, right?
Yes. Basically what it is the career and life of Detective Siobhan Robinson. And Ace of Hearts is her. She is the first black female homicide detective in Portsboro, New York, which is a fictitious New York town. And you get to watch her grow. You get to see her with her first case. And then years pass before we catch up with her again and in Blackjack. And by that time, she's getting a little reputation because she's doing pretty well, considering all the doubts that she and everybody else had about her. And then by the time you see her in Deuces Wild, she's the lead detective, and she's pretty tough.
So you see her grow. So besides the inspiration of the theme, the desire to write a series or writings that are based on something as intense as law and crime, where did that come from? Was that something that you, did you enjoy watching detective shows like Perry Mason and
Oh, yes. Between detective, you know, cop shows and horror, which is my other forte. I mean, between the two of them, I did a lot of research because I don't have a criminal, a criminal background from either side of the courtroom, you know what I mean? But I've always been interested in it. It's always fascinated me, and one of the reasons why I kept the book it starts in the early 80s is because that's when I actually wrote the book, and I wanted to stay true to form, so you get to see. I found out, I'm pretty OCD, all my books are like in 4-year intervals, so when one book ends, the next one picks up 4 years later, so you can see the progress that she's making, not only in her career, but in her personal life.
Okay, and so I know there was another author that was on the show that mentioned that the characters talk to you. Do you have a similar experience?
I was afraid for myself because I didn't know that. You know, I thought I was the only one. I hear voices, and it's kind of hard to tell people that without them giving you that look, you know. But that's basically what I do. I'm not the type to outline a storyboard anything. I just let them come and have a conversation, and I type what they say. I'm kind of like a channeler more than anything else now. Where these characters come from, I'm not too sure. But
I think they're a combination of, you know, what we experience and what we've seen, and, you know, and then that imagination that we have as writers within us. But so, you know, on that same note, as far as, you know, the characters themselves, how do you, as a writer, keep up with the characters, like their ages, their characteristics, the times, the dates? How do you do that? Because I find myself rereading stuff, and I'm like, oh, well, wait a minute. They didn't take a plane. They drove. How do you do that?
Well, basically, I put on some good old 1980-ish R&B. And remember back to the time, because I was there. So, and keeping track, I have to be honest, sometimes I do get a little off. But one of my advanced readers is like my chronological editor. And if anything is glaringly wrong, she will point it out to me. And I really appreciate her for that. But pretty much it flows within the timeline for me. I may have a couple of skips here and there, like leave on a Friday and don't show up till a Monday and you're just going around the corner. So she's the one that'll point that out, and it's like, wait a minute.
Well, you know, someone, I guess it might be a fan of your work. It's a Sonia Remo AIT.
Yes, Sonia.
Yeah, she says, you're not crazy, my dear. She's laughing.
So Sonia's a newly found fan and friend. I think we got acquainted last month, and I sent her my books, and now she's waiting for Full House like the rest of my guys. Look, all my peeps are waiting for that. So, and
you know, after looking at your website, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. First of all, your website is amazing because I always try to do a little pre-work to just kind of get a feel, though we've actually talked on the phone in depth a couple of times. But the website is just awesome. So let's take a moment to plug that real quick. What is the website that readers or listeners can go to?
It's www.deckofcardswithaz. That's deckofcardz.com. And I'm going
to
put it in the chat room just because I can. And I'm really proud.
Okay.
I'm really proud of my website because I am actually managing it myself, which isn't bad for a little old lady. So
I'll say it's not. Well, Leo, let's move into this question. What has been the most rewarding part of this literary journey for you?
I think really that it's meeting people that I would have never come in contact with had I not started writing. It's just so encouraging to speak with fans and friends now that are really into my work, that get me, and I appreciate it more than they'll ever know. But just the fact that somebody will actually get excited when I mention a book or when they meet me, it just thrills me because I'm still just me.
You know what? That's how humble you are, and that's one thing that really draws me to individuals that, you know, I'd like to have on the show, because there is a humbleness about you, and that I know that there's an actual love for writing. Because do you think you would write even if you weren't getting paid?
Yes, I know now that I would. I mean, I really had no aspirations of being a writer. And once I did get started, it dawned on me that I liked writing more than reading, which I didn't think was possible. So I think if I was only forcing my family to read it, I'd still keep going.
And that's another thing as a writer, because, you know, when I released my first book, and actually the ones that I have out now, you know, momentum is building right now for GD Grace. But when you're talking about motivation and encouragement, were there ever times or moments where you're sitting there and you're writing and then you get it out, and then the people that you really want to kind of get you, like you said a little earlier, they really don't? Have there been moments like that for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can please some of the people some of the time. You know, there's always going to be someone who disagrees with what you've put down or wants to get you on a technicality or whatever. But the overwhelming majority have been favorable. So I just take it with a grain of salt and go keep going. I'm not going to let it stop me. I enjoy what I do. So if I'm making me happy, that's all that matters. Everybody else is, you know, getting happy with me. It's just a bonus. So I'm just doing what I want to do.
I like how you said that. I like how you said it, because it reminded me of something that Missy Elliott, the rapper, said. Because, you know, Missy came out, and she was in garbage bags, and she was this, you know, full-figured woman, and her videos were crazy. But she said, if they don't get you right away, just keep on going, because eventually they will catch up. So that's what I like in what you just said.
And I'm going to keep...
I'm
going to keep writing until they do.
You know, well. On that note, has there been a specific occurrence that inspired and still inspires you to just keep on going?
And I wish I had the reminder, but I don't. But I remember, you have to remember, I was trying to get this published in 1982, and those were the years before self-publishing was a big deal, and usually it was too expensive back then. So I did what everybody's not supposed to do. I sent unsolicited manuscripts to, you know, traditional publishers. And form rejection is bad enough, but this one publisher took time, thank him very much, to send me a personal rejection letter to tell me that I would never be published. Now, had I not burned that, I would enclose it.
In a sacrificial type.
Exactly. Had I not burned it, I would enclose it with my three books so far and send it to him and tell him, you know, just show him that you were totally wrong, okay? Not only am I being published, but I'm in my second and third printings, and it's going pretty well. It's going more than I ever imagined, to be honest with you. So I'm very happy with that.
Well, you know, and I'm happy for you, and that's a wonderful thing, because that's just one a handful of people's perception, and see what has happened with the invention of social networking and self-publishing opportunities. It has leveled the playing field so that writers can, you know, go around, you know, the red tape. And the thing is, I've read quite a few writers' work, you know, and there might be punctuation may not be 100%, you know, it may not flow. But you know what I look for? I look to see the content and the sensitivity and the realness behind what they write, because we all will get better as we keep going on, because, like you said, you have a set of eyes that looks out for you, you know, to keep things in check for you. And so I guess where I want to go now with this is, are there any book signing events that are coming up for you?
Oh, yes, I'm really excited, because I'm going to be appearing at the Hammond House in Atlanta on June 26th with a host of other authors, and I'm with the big dogs. Look.
And so for all you Atlantans out there listening to this, I'm pretty sure you know where this wonderful place is that she's talking about. Can you say it again for the listeners?
Okay, it's the Hammond's House Museum, and it's on People Street, Southwest in Atlanta, and I'll be there from 2 p.m. on Sunday, June 26th.
Okay, well, I can't wait to hear how that turns out, but I heard that there was an event that took place, I think it was about a week or so ago.
Oh, last Saturday, yeah, we had the Get Lit a party, and Lit is short for literature, and it was a black and red affair, and it was on the rooftop of the Rain Lounge in Houston. We had a live jazz trio, food, fun. It was really, really nice. Thank God the weather was perfect, because the evening cooled down and it was a breeze, and it couldn't have gotten much better than that.
We ate,
drank, and listened to good music, and it was wonderful. And just talked and met some of my, well, I have a fan base in Houston who never lets me down. They're always there. I know when I go to Houston, I'm going to see their faces. And they even brought family. It was great. It was really great.
And speaking of your fan base, is there one specific occurrence or incident that just, like, knocks your socks off and has you looking for them, where someone came up to you and they expressed how they loved what you were doing? Do you recount that particular incident?
I think that the one that really sticks out for me was my first meeting with a book club. I had no idea what to expect. They just notified me that they had read my book, and they were in Atlanta, and they wanted to know, you know, could I come meet with them on a Sunday. And when I walked in, the response was just probably the most gratifying experience I've had so far, because it actually put a lump in. In fact, thinking about it, I get a little choked up, because their reaction to me being there was just overwhelming. And I think for the first time I knew what an author feels like. It was great. It really was. And it's,
you know,
just,
and you,
I would say it's just strange when people walk up to me and, you know, you introduce yourself and they're like, oh my God, I read your books. That just fascinates me to this day. It's like, really?
That's wonderful. I really can't wait to read your books. I've got so many different books that I want to read, but having, you know, visited your website and, you know, snooped around up in there, again, your mind, you know, I write fiction. I write about the relationship aspect of it. There have been some gruesome scenes in, like, my very first book that I wrote, Nights of Deception, but you're an inspiration. And on that note, if for the writer that is just starting out, or for the writer that is discouraged, that may be listening right now, what advice from Jean Holloway would you like to share with them to inspire them to keep moving on?
Well, I tell them all, never give up your dream. Listen to yourself. Listen to your heart. Yes, there's going to be people who are going to try and discourage you. There are also going to be people who are going to tell you the best thing since sliced bread, even when you have a little doubt, okay? But don't doubt yourself to the point that it stops you from doing what you feel good doing. I mean, it took me from 82 to 2007, we're talking almost 30 years here, for somebody to recognize that I do have a writing talent. I guess it was a lesson in patience. But it's not going to happen overnight. Trust me, okay? You just have to keep looking at your goal and keep moving towards it, and I'm telling you, it will reward you in the end. I promise. I promise, because there's nothing like holding that book, your creation, in your hand. Except having a baby, because I equate them almost the same, okay? This is your creation. You do this on your own. Even having a baby, you got to have somebody else involved. So this is something that no one but you could do. Now, I also want to tell them that don't think it's an easy process. Don't think you can just scribble out 300 pages and you're good to go. You've got to edit yourself 3-4 times. I recommend everybody, and I know it sounds crazy, but read your book when you think you're through. Leave it alone for about a week. Go back and read your book as if you had never read it before, and read it aloud, because then you can hear all the nuances. I even have, I think in Adobe, you can actually have the computer read the book for you, which I like because there's no infliction on anything, so you get just straight words. It sounds kind of robotic. But for some reason, it helps you pick out little things that you would have ordinarily missed, because when you write, your mind knows what you want to say. So sometimes you see what isn't actually there. So this way,
you know, well, now, okay, see, this is why I love doing the shows and interacting with writers. Did you just say that there's some type of program that will read back to you?
Yeah, and it's free. You go to
we're going to have to hook up, because I need to know about that one.
Yeah, you have to download Adobe Reader, and you can download that from Adobe.com. And there's a little, I'll have to send you instructions, trust me, but there's a little checkbox somewhere that when you check it, you can highlight paragraphs and the computer will read your words to you. It's one of the best editing tools I've ever found.
I am floored. Now, on that note, as I'm looking at the clock here, because this is your 30-minute spot here. Okay, so if there's anything that I missed before I get into the closing parts of this show, is there anything else that you want to tell or share with the listeners out there that are tuning in?
Sure. sure if you have anyone in the military that's near Fort Benning, Georgia, and this has been one of my goals in life. I've always wanted to open up my audience and also give a pretty good discount to our military. I just think they don't get reward enough. So my first stop will be at Fort Benning, Georgia, and that'll be July 16th. And I will be at the PX signing, meeting and greeting, and giving them a great military discount. So if you can come to Columbus, Georgia, I'll be there. And I'll also, look, I've got July, the summer's busy for me. July 29th to the 31st, I'll be at the National Book Club Conference in downtown Atlanta. And we're there from Friday to Sunday afternoon. So come on down and see me, and we'll talk. In fact, in about a week or two, we're waiting on the master engineer, Ace of Hearts, will be an audiobook. And you'll be able to purchase it on iTunes. You'll also be able to purchase the CD. And I just want to say I am so proud of this project because it turned out to be more than I ever wanted it to be. Because, I mean, I've listened to audiobooks, and I guess I just don't get it. I like reading myself. But for those who can't, I wanted something a little more than the norm. So this audiobook will put you in the mind of an old radio show because it has sound effects, music, everything. And
I can't wait to hear that one.
I'm telling you.
I cannot wait to hear that one. Well, what I want to say is, for the listeners out there, you know, you have just listened to an interview with the wonderfully talented Jean Holloway of the Deck of Cards series. Her website, again, for those who might have missed it, but it is also in the chat room, is www.deckofcards, that's DECKOFCARD.com. Pay her a visit. And as we draw the curtain to a close on today's show, I'd like to thank Jean for giving me the honor and let everyone know that I'll be posting the dates and times of future interviews on Facebook and my literary blog, which is http://AUTHR2BE.wordpress.com. Until next time, and before I say until next time to put a close on it, is there any final thought that you want? It's the spotlight belongs to you, Jean.
I just want to thank all my readers and fans. I appreciate you guys. You keep me writing. I hope never to disappoint. And just to remind you that November 11th, 2011, so 11-11-11, Full House will be hitting the stores. So going out and finish out the deck of cards series with me, and I promise to tie up all the loose ends and shake you up for a little bit.
I love it. I love it. So until next time, listeners and writers, cultivate that creativity and stay inspired. And Jean, God bless you and the entire PHE Inc. family.
Thank you so much. You have a good one, and thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, baby. Bye-bye.